All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, here with my lovely wife, and we are going to get started for our service. We do apologize for the late start, some last-minute technical difficulties. We're going to be in our brown hymnal today. The first song we're going to sing is Be Thou My Vision, 538, in the brown hymn, 538. On the one, be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught is all else to me, save that thou.
Sorry about that. Here we go. Let's try that again. On number one. Let's go back to number one.
Oh, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught is all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day and by
A little better. We're getting there. On the two.
Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I nigh thy dear Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one.
There we go, a little bit better. On the third.
Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, power of my power.
A little good, a little better. On the six.
High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen. All right, friends, for our next hymn, that was our second time at that song. We still got to polish it up just a little bit more, but we'll get there a little bit. Amen. The Lord knows our hearts. How about that? Okay. So for our next hymnal today, 422, Blessed Assurance. 422, Blessed Assurance. Amen. Thank you.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good singing, on the tune.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song.
Sing it out, church.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Good singing. On the third.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Good singing.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good singing, church. Praise the Lord. That was a great song. Corporate church singing. Okay, friends, our last hymnal before we get started with some announcements here. 461 in the brown hymn. 461. Good singing, church. Good singing.
Soul can move. I rest upon unchanging love. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Midst all the hell I feel within, on His completed work I lean. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good singing, church.
When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest upon unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good singing. Let's go on to number five.
trust his righteous character, his counsel, promise, and power, his honor and his name's at stake to save me from the burning.
Like, amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On the last, sing it.
When I shall launch in worlds unseen, oh, may I then be found in him, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All right, good singing. Praise the Lord. Amen. There you go. Sister Brittany was waiting for that. Take it up. All right, friends, let's go ahead and greet one another. Amen. Show some love to one another. Praise the Lord. For those of you watching online, meet and greet. Amen. Meet and greet.
Welcome, welcome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Praise and worship as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. My name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q if you like. I'm going to adjust the online crowd here to get y'all familiar with our webpage as we continue to fellowship here physically at Simple Faith Baptist Church. So feel free to follow along from left to right as we go over the quick tabs here. All right. If you're new here, we are simple brothers and sisters in Christ who we let the Bible change us. We don't change the Bible. We believe it when God says that it's inspired by him and preserved by him. So praise God for that. So the first tab I'm going to go over is the calendar tab here. Just like any calendar tab, you just know the current, future, former events that we have going on here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. No biggie there. Nothing new under the sun. Only thing I want to go over here for this calendar tab is just how we change up the schedule a little bit. So what we do is on every first Wednesday, we have a prayer service, and every last Sunday, we have the Lord's Supper that we do, okay? So please, if you would like to join us here at Simple Faith Baptist, just know that those will be the changes on the calendar. If anything else pops up, just feel free to hit that tab there, all right? We already went over about us and our beliefs. Our church team is just a tab so you can reach out to us. All right, you can reach out to Brother Carlos here via email, myself via email or phone, right here on this church team tab. If you have any needs, anything that we can do for you or any information you may need, just feel free to contact us. We also have a church phone. You can see that number on the homepage tab here. I want you to click this tab here. And I'm going to go down from here from the contact information here. This is the church number. If you scroll down, you'll see the regular schedule. Every Sunday at 1 p.m., we have our Sunday school. Awesome study. We're going through a book called Signs, Wonders, and Miracles by Brother James Knox. I love this book because it teaches us what's for us, what's not. Teaches us more in depth how to rightly divide the Word of God in some sense. And there's also a book. There's plenty of books here from Brother James that you can go on his webpage. If you viewed our Sunday school earlier this morning or this afternoon, you would see that there's plenty of books, plenty of knowledge to get out there. But we're currently going through that. We're going to be going through that until we finish. And that goes about a 30-minute class. We take a 15-minute break, go into the Sunday service at 1:45, where we worship God in spirit and in truth. So please join us if you can, whether it's virtual or here physical. And don't be afraid of the whole COVID thing. There's enough space. We don't have that many members, so please feel free to join us. Contact us if you would like to do that. All right? Moving right along for Wednesday. Wednesday, we have our midweek service. We come back and we gather together like the Lord told us not to forsake that gathering. We gather again. And like I said, every first Wednesday, we have a set aside time for prayer so we can pray for those who are in authority, pray for each other, pray for the seeds that we sow out there on Saturdays when we preach the Word of God. So please join us on Wednesdays. And that first Wednesday is prayer, and every other Wednesday is a solid Bible study. Praise God. All right. Friday nights, we have our Friday night discipleship class. This class is very important because it teaches us how to rightly divide the Word of God. So if God tells us to rightly divide the Word of God, obviously we can wrongly divide it. It can cause confusion. All right. And God does not want us to be confused. Amen. And so two books we're going through on our leadership study. We call it our leadership study. We're going through this book here called One Book Rightly Divided. So I'll leave that up there for a second. Please look for that. Brother Andrew Ray, Brother James Knox, Douglas D. Stauffer. You can look those up on those. You can look them up on Google and find their web pages, and you can order those books or contact us. We can get you one. Same thing with Understanding the Scriptures, Right and Divided, by Brother James Knox. That book is on his website as well. But again, our contact information is there if you're interested in that, or just follow along. All right, so every Friday at 7, we're going to continue to do that because it's very important. You don't want to be confused, and you don't want to confuse others. You want to learn how to write and divide the Word of God like he told you, amen? All right, so moving right along, let's go over to our prayer tab here, which is the most important tab to me because prayer is very important to God. He says, pray without ceasing. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for each other, our loved ones, friends, even those who are we may think are froward. We need to keep each other in prayer, keep those in authority in prayer. And one way we do that is we have this here. This is just for us to keep you in prayer as a church. You should be praying on your own anyway. But you see right here on the right-hand side where it says submit prayer request, name, email, prayer title, prayer details. Here you can either put a category. Maybe you want to tell us what God has done in your life. So please feel free to fill that out. And if you look up here, the last prayer request was from Pastor Ellie. Okay. And, so you see how it's not public. All right. So the thing I want to talk about here is when you put a prayer request on here, it will be public unless you don't want it public. But the good news is that we can know about it. If you don't want it public, we can keep you in prayer as a church. So please feel free to put that prayer request up there or that praise report so we can keep you in prayer or give glory to God. Amen. All right. So moving right along, let's go to Get Connected here. We kind of already went over our current and future ministries. The only one I want to kind of hit up on right now is the Soul Winning Saturdays. So every Saturday at 2 p.m. we meet here. We have prayer, maybe some coffee, some water. We get out there and do what the Lord has called us to do is preach the Word of God, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please join us every Saturday at 2 p.m. We're going to continue to meet here. We had Brother Ryan come out. Praise God for Brother Ryan. He came out with us yesterday. It was an awesome witness. We got together. We preached that gospel. And Brother Angelo, did some outlaw street preaching. That was awesome, man. I know he was provoked by Brother Manny. Me and Brother Carlos still hitting it, that one-on-one, that preaching and, edification of the brothers. It's a good time because you're out there serving the Lord alongside of your brothers and sisters. So please feel free to join us Saturdays at 2 p.m. We're going to continue to do that and contact us if you want to join us for that. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and go to these last couple tabs before we get to the Word of God. We've got the live stream tab here. All right, so this is just basically the streaming platforms, Facebook Live, YouTube, podcast. You can continue to join us virtually there. And then the Bible study tab here, very unique because we're not the only ones who are teaching the Word of God, right, divided, Bible history and things like that. You can learn all those things here. These are brothers that a lot of them we physically met or we have studied through and listened to a lot of their material and are solid. So please utilize this link here so you can add more knowledge to your faith, because God tells us to add to our faith knowledge. Amen. We want to continue to grow in the knowledge of God. All right. And the last tab here before we get started is the online giving tab. It's between you and the Lord. We just make it here available if you would like to give to Simple Faith Baptist Church. Again, all funds go to books like I just showed you earlier. They go to our Jesus Saves Church when we're out there witnessing. They go to the gospel tracts, obviously a place to gather and worship and a stream. So again, it's between you and the Lord. We just make it available for you to do that if you would like to. Just follow instructions. It should be an easy day. Amen. All right, so welcome up, Brother Carlos. Get ready for the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Quamain. All right, guys. Amen. By the way, we do apologize. Our coffee pot broke. Some of you guys are looking tired here today. So if you need to, we have instant coffee. Do some jumping jacks. Do what you got to do so you guys can stay awake and vigilant to be blessed today by the Bible. Amen. All right. So with that said, welcome back to church, guys. It's good to see everybody in-house. For those of you who are here, call this your home church. And for those of you that are watching online, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We hope and pray that you stay for the remainder of the message. We want to be blessed by listening to the full message from the Bible, so that way you can learn as much as you can. Amen. So with that said, guys, let's go ahead and get back into our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans. We are currently in chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 12. Chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Last Sunday, we left off with a quick introduction of verses 1 and 2, give you guys just a quick taste of what it is we're going to get into today. This is going to be our part 1. We have a lot to talk about today by just two verses going through the Bible, and I hope and pray that today you are encouraged as much as I was when I was preparing this, asking the Lord to help me to study His Bible so that way I can figure out the best way to present these truths to you today, so that way you can be edified by Bible truth, and it's going to be pretty good. I guess you could just say I was reminded of some things that I never considered before, as certain words are associated with other words in the context of Scripture, to give you a broader understanding of the mercies of God. We're going to talk about that today, the mercies of God. There's a lot of Scripture we got to go to. That's why I say part one, because when you understand the mercies of God, guys, the next part there of the presenting your body, it's going to make you, I guess you could say, realize a little bit more of why we do, why we should, because we're going to first understand the mercies of God. It's going to be quite amazing today. So I want to thank God for those of you once again that are here watching online. We had a great time soul winning yesterday. Praise the Lord. Like Brother Quamain said, I was encouraged. Brother Angelo, man, getting stirred in his spirit to preach. Brother Manny the Cannon, I call him. He's out there holding it down. And Brother Ryan, he's gonna start coming once a month at least. He's all the way from Escondido. I guess the brethren, when I wasn't there, met him. He was driving by. Brother Manny gave him a flyer, and his spirit was stirred to preach the gospel with other Christian guys that are doing something for the Lord. And he was stirred, so we came here with his family. It was a blessing to meet him. And yesterday he came by. He blessed our church with avocados. And he says, unlimited avocados. Brother Manny was like, yeah, answered prayer. Other than that, that was cool. We had a great time, had dinner together. But it was great to see another brother desiring to do something for Jesus rather than just sit on the couch or make excuses. He did it, and that was a blessing with us. And so we look forward to the next time we get to go. But ultimately, remember, we're all called to preach the gospel. Every single one of you who call yourself a Christian, it's our duty to do something for Jesus, to tell somebody about Him. However you want to do it, however you want to administer, you do it, but do something. Amen. So we do it corporately together Saturday. And one of these days, I'm thinking about going to Carlsbad downtown on the four corner intersection, because it gets packed over there too. Each of us can take a corner, and it's going to get even better. So again, the hope and prayer is for us to grow, not because of money, but to do more for Jesus. We want to win souls. That's our goal. But if we do grow, perhaps the Lord can bless us with a space of our own, so we don't have to worry about anything else with property managements and all those type of relations there. All right, so Romans chapter 12. Let's go ahead and read the two verses, and then we will pray, and we'll get right into our study. Romans 12, verse number 1. By the apostle, underneath and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today. Lord, our desire today is just what that Bible told us. We want to present our bodies to you, a living sacrifice, Lord. I'm just so thankful to see everybody that came here physically to church. That's one step, Lord, in the right direction to present their bodies to you for your service, to gather with the local assembly, to hear a preacher preach the Bible. Lord, so far, these brethren of mine are doing it. That's a blessing to see, Lord. Would you bless them? And I pray today, Lord, that you would continue to teach us from your Bible how we can renew our mind, Lord, in light of your truth And I pray today that we can do our best to administer the truth, and it'll be understood by those that hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse number one, notice the term there, I beseech you therefore. I beseech you. Last week we were talking to a brother in regards to definitions, and what does the word beseech mean? That word beseech just simply means to entreat or to supplicate, to implore, to ask with urgency, you understand? I beseech you therefore, brethren. So just to remind you with Scripture, Romans chapter 1, you guys can flip a couple of pages to the beginning of the book of Romans, the brethren. So now, the direction that Paul the Apostle is redirecting the attention now, we just finished Romans chapters 9 through 11. The direction there was not for the brethren, it was for the brethren to know about Israel, the future of Israel, the salvation for Israel, the redemption of Israel. But now the attention comes right back to the brethren. So all these great things about Israel, all these great things that the Lord's going to do, he hasn't forsaken Israel, he's not done with them. All right, guys, back to you. Romans 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So who is he addressing there? The brethren, the saints there at Rome. Those that are called of Christ, verse 6, called to be saints, verse 7. That Bible tells us that these brethren are beloved of God. Look at that, beloved of God, and you can see that there in verse number 7. So when we go back here now to Romans 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. We're going to talk about this. It's going to be our part one to discovering from the Bible the mercies of God and what is associated with the mercies of God in Scripture, how the Bible defines the mercies of God. And for that, the first mention is going to be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. So in our first Bible stop of our study today, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, the very first book in your Bible. I hope and pray that you will follow along with me in your own Bible to build that muscle memory. And if I do move a little quickly, don't worry, because we do have the projector, so you can follow along with us. Our base text is Romans 12, so leave a flyer there, or you know, your little Bible thread there. That's our base text. So we're going to keep going back, but we're going to go on our Bible study starting here in Genesis 32. Now, whenever you guys study that Bible, remember there are these principles of study. And the first principle is the principle of first mention. And the simple idea behind that is the first time something is mentioned in the Bible usually denotes for the further future references to that word or that topic, it usually will be similar to the way that it's presented. And here we have in Genesis chapter 32, we're going to read here in verse number 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. So when you go back here, Jacob is talking here. So what does he say? What does he say there? He's not worthy of these mercies and these truths that was bestowed upon him. So for the first idea here, mercies and truth are connected here as an action, something demonstrated unto somebody else in dealings and in these matters. It's an act being shown to somebody else. The difference between God's mercies and man's is that God's mercies are great. And as we're going to turn now to 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, they're very great. So now just watch up to the screen here, because I'm going to go through these quickly, and we're just simply going through the scriptures to get a definition of the mercies of God. So 2 Samuel 24, verse 14, watch this. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. Anybody's heart ever smite yourself before anybody? How about that? That's pretty cool. What does that even look like right there? The heart of David smote him. And David said unto the Lord, I've sinned greatly in that I have done, And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And here we go. Give me one quick second here. 2 Samuel 24:14. And so we go down here. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the land of the Lord, for his mercies are great. See that? And let me not fall into the hand of man. God's mercies are greater than the mercies extended and offered by man. 1 Chronicles 21, like I said, I'm going to go through these quickly, so just look up to the screen here. 1 Chronicles 21. The book of 2 Samuel and Chronicles will at times present parallel passages, that is, parallel events. And so this is very similar to what we just read. But watch this. 1 Chronicles 21:13. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. Amen. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So what have we so far seen here? The difference between God's mercies and man's is that God's are very great, but man's, they're not. The mercies of God are dealt out to man even during times of rebellion. That's pretty quite amazing. Let's go ahead and see this from the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 19. Look at what the Bible says here. Even in times of rebellion, God's mercies are available to be shown. Nehemiah 9, verse number 19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Look at that. His manifold mercies did not forsake Israel even during their times in the wilderness. Look at verse number 18. They provoked him with their idolatry. Do you guys remember that? So go down here with me to verse number 31, same chapter, Nehemiah 9. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Do you see there? So now God's mercies are associated with this grace, this characteristic of God, this virtue of God, grace. Grace and mercy work together to be extended to you and I, the sinner who offends a holy God, so we could be forgiven or saved or delivered, etc., etc. God's mercies is an extension of his loving kindness. Look at Psalm 25 now in our next Bible stop. Psalm 25 and verse number 6. And like I said again, I'm going through this quickly just to help us get a quick understanding of the mercies of God as defined by the Bible. Psalm 25, verse 6, the Bible says, Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Do you see there? So God's mercies is an extension of his loving kindness. How about that? As well as the truth of his revealed word. Let's go to Psalm 40. Psalm chapter number 40 and verse number 11. The Bible says here, Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Do you see there? So far, what have we seen? According to his gracious character, his loving kindness, his truth. According to his word, which he's revealed, the sinner can appeal to his mercy. Psalm 51. Watch this. Psalm 51. It's by God's mercy that sinners can find hope for the forgiveness of their sins. Look at what King David says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. It's only by God's mercies, church, that we can find forgiveness. It's only because he is a merciful God that we can have hope in him. The same God who's angry with the wicked every day is the same God who has immediate availability to pardon when I call upon him in faith and ask him to do that for me. Say, Father, would you please forgive me? I know I've sinned against you, but according to your namesake, according to your grace, Lord, I don't have anything to offer you, God. I know I'm an offender. I've offended you. But Lord, I know your Bible tells me here you have mercy for me. So Lord, would you extend that to me? And he definitely will. Psalm 77, verse number 9. God's mercies are held accountable by his word. Look at this here. Psalm 77, verse number 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. So it's by God's grace that mercy is extended to sinners. Remember, grace and mercy work together to help and bless the sinner who's offended him. Lamentation, chapter number 3. These are some books that we haven't referenced in a while, but nevertheless, the mercies of God are found there. God's mercies are held accountable by his word. Watch this. Lamentations, chapter 3. Let's go to verse number 22. Verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And go down to 32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. So what does that tell you? We have the introduction of God's compassion, and God's compassion accompanies his mercies. So why does he extend mercy to the sinner? It's because he's compassionate. When you read your New Testament, Christian, you're going to see, when you do a little search, compassion. Jesus had compassion for sinners, by the way. That's the mercy of God. So I don't know if you can. I mean, it's impossible. I'm just trying my best, like Paul said, because of the infirmity of your flesh, just when you try to get an understanding of heavenly things. Here is a holy God sitting up there in heaven, the creator of all things. And there's nothing that offends up there. It's pure, it's holy. He cannot behold evil, Habakkuk 2 tells us. But there's a mediator between God and men, the man Christ. The Father's there, no evil. There's the Son, he is the mediator. Anybody who can call upon him, the mediator will mediate, say, Father, there's another one that needs to be saved. He's calling upon me. But what compels this God to want to save you? What compels this God to want to heal you or help you? It's his compassion. It's his mercy. That's a blessing right there. I don't know about you, man, but that's a blessing. Our New Testament tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, in the Godhead, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. How about that? And the God of all comfort. Do you see there now in the association? There is comfort that God offers as he extends mercy to sinners. Praise the Lord. God the Father, the first member in the Godhead, as we like to say, and the hierarchical authority within the Godhead, the Bible says he is the Father of mercies. That's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same God who spoke all things into existence. The same God who has been from everlasting to everlasting. Isaiah 45 says he's always been a merciful God. He's always been a gracious God. He's always been a compassionate God. He's always been. Now here's a quick preaching side nugget for those of you following along. Let's compare these two gods quickly. Number one, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a Father of mercies. So far we've seen from Bible truth, there's truth associated with his mercy, grace associated with his mercy, loving kindness associated with his mercy, forgiveness and compassion. So far we just saw that from Old Testament. But what about the God of this world? What about our former God, Satan? Well, the Bible tells us that he was a murderer. He's a liar. He's evil. Death. Wickedness. Which God do you want? Which God do you want to have a relationship with? I want the God of Father of mercies, amen? I don't want the God of condemnation to continue to remind me of how wicked and evil I am and take me to a lake of fire, amen? So biblically, I'd rather have a relationship with the true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ than the God of this world, our former God, amen to that. Now the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary describes and defines mercy or merciful as the following. Having or exercising mercy, compassionate, tender, disposed to pity offenders and to forgive their offenses, unwilling to punish.
That's a blessing. So what is an example? When you and I break the law, we are deserving of the punishment because that's the due reward of our actions. Here's Jesus Christ, and he is nailed on the cross between two malefactors, bad guys. You know what that one malefactor told the other when he was cursing up a storm? We deserve the due reward of our punishment. He understood that we deserve what we are getting. We broke the law. They were bad guys. But you know the difference between the two? There was one who humbled himself and said, Lord, would you have mercy on me? I'm just paraphrasing it. You understand. Lord, remember me. He expressed faith, and the same God who's been of old, the same gracious God, a merciful God, a compassionate God, looked to that malefactor while he was dying on the cross and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Man, that's a message right there. But what's the good news? He can extend mercy even to the point of death. That's how gracious and compassionate the God of the Bible is. Praise the Lord. To the sinner. But how was mercy expressed? He didn't deserve that. Just like we didn't deserve that. What does Romans 5 tell us? Brother Manny was preaching it yesterday. Christ died for our sins. This is how the love of God was commended toward us. That he died for us while we were yet sinners. We were enemies of God. We rightly deserve to go to hell. We rightly deserve to suffer in a lake of fire forever because of our offenses against the Creator. But while you were still lost, living in sin, doing whatever you're doing, drugs, fornication, whatever the case might be, there was mercy extended to you. There was grace offered to you by the cross. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. So our direction moving forward, with all this wonderful truth that we just read, we learned, we received, and believed. Going back to Romans from chapter 1, the righteousness of God being revealed from heaven through the power of the gospel. Chapter 2, salvation offered by God's grace, not merited by birth simply because one is born a Jew or a Gentile. Chapter 3, all are sinners. But remember, the Father of mercies is ready to pardon all who believe in the propitiation presented, which is the blood of Jesus. With all that taken into consideration, isn't it ironic when we consider Romans 12? Like I said, that's our base text, so you're always going to go back there. How ironic that God would ask of the redeemed to offer something to him. How strange. Many Christians believe in so many false doctrines today, such as the total control of everything, that God's in control, God's still on the throne, or the Lord is over all, he's in total control. But if that's the case, why would the Holy Spirit call the believer to present to God something unto himself if he owns or is over control of all things? It's because he's not. He's not controlling your body. He's not controlling your free will. You and I can choose to obey God from the heart or disobey God from the heart. And so the request by the mercies of God, what is he doing? He is imploring you. He is urging you to present unto him your body, a living sacrifice. Why the body, Brother Carlos? I thought God already got a hold of this thing, did he not? That's why we're here to learn Bible truth. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 to remind us of the Bible truth, of why it is that we need to get a hold of the body. And the answer I'll give you, and we'll explain it, is because the body is not yet redeemed. One day it will be, but until you die or are raptured, you're going to be fighting yourself until that time comes. The greatest enemy you have, my friend, is not your neighbors. It's not your friends. It's not your family members. It's yourself. It's sin inside of you. And we're going to talk about that. So let's go together. Romans chapter 6. Hope you're there. And let's start here reading in verse number 6. The Bible says this in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The Bible introduces to us this amazing terms described as the old man. Whenever you study the rest of your New Testament, you're going to see these two terms, old man, new man, the inner man, the outer man, the inward man being renewed day by day. And the Bible defines to us that the old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's go back a couple of verses earlier to help us to understand what we've already studied in times past, but just to remind us of why the Lord would ask us then to present our bodies. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So what do we have? We have the old man that died when you got saved. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you heard the gospel, your first birth from Adam, that nature was crucified with Christ. And Jesus gave you a new nature. But you're still living in the same body. But there's somebody new living in there. There's two men. The old man and the new man. So when you ask yourself, well, Brother Carlos, why is it that I still have these desires for sinful things, sinful lusts, fornication, drugs, sex, rock and roll, whatever the case might be for you, it's because you have that old man in there. But why do you have desires to do good now? To please God, read your Bible, pray, do etc., etc., the Lord wants you to do? It's because you have a new man in you. Here's the good news. If you're saved, if you're born again, the Bible says you have a new nature, you have been made free from that power of sin that was ruling your body. Let's keep reading here in Romans 6. Hope you're following along. Verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, here it is, brethren, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what that word reckon means, church? That's to esteem. That's to count. You need to believe and you need to understand this truth. You need to realize, in other words, that you and I are dead indeed unto sin. But where does sin reign? It's the body, the flesh. So here's two truths. The scripture tells me in verse number 11. I need to realize and recognize that I'm dead to sin. However, I am alive at the same time. Because notice, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like Romans 12:2 told us, to be not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed in spirit of your mind. That's our responsibility, Christians. That transforming power of our mind, that's for us to reckon. That's for us to agree and realize with God's word, man, I'm no longer underneath that power. I'm no longer held bondage by those things of my sinful nature that it wants to have control over. I've been given power and freedom from that. So then, knowing what the scripture tells me, I'm dead to sin. I no longer have to serve sin. What does that tell me? It's a choice. Before I got saved, I had no power over it. After I got saved, I have all the power because Christ is in me. Look it, I'm alive in Christ, verse 11. So, Brother Carlos, what happens to our Christian friends when they quote-unquote backslide or they quote-unquote fall away or they quote-unquote are living worldly? It's because they are not reckoning themselves. They're not agreeing with the Word of God. They're not believing that Word of God. And they're not realizing, wait, they're free. They're living like dead men enslaved to sin when they're set free on the inside. So the key to the victory, I'm not getting prosperity like Joel Osteen, but is the Bible truth that Christ in me has given me the power to say no to that sin. If I'm not going to agree with this, and I'm not going to believe in this, and I'm not going to obey this, then no wonder why I still keep falling short and doing drugs or fornicating or doing those sinful things like the New Testament tells me about. Let's keep reading. There is right now a part of me and a part of you that is dead. And there is in me and right now a part of us that is alive. The flesh versus the soul. Our old birth versus the new birth. The inner man has been redeemed when I believe the gospel, when you believe the gospel. But the flesh, the body, is not yet redeemed. And the nature of that flesh and body, human spirit, where the lusts and etc. dwell, are still there. So look at verse 12, Romans 6. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your what? Mortal body. There it is. The Bible defined it for you. That ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. So what does that tell me? That tells me that I can still sin against God. I can still go out there, make some mistakes in the world, do this and do that, because I have two natures within this body. I have the old man and the new man. But now he's writing to the brethren. Remember that? He's writing to them that are saved. He's writing to the redeemed. He's writing to people that are spirit-filled, regenerated with the spirit of, and the power of Christ in them. And he's telling them now, because you have been saved, because Christ dwells within you, because you have this power now over the flesh, don't let sin reign over you, that you should obey those things. I'm not telling you guys that you're going to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying, because I fall short of God's glory. I agree with the word. I still sin. But what I am telling you is you have the power to choose what you're going to do with that thought. When the thought arises, are you going to have power over that thing or not? Is the flesh, that's dead, supposed to be dead, are you going to allow it to be alive for a little bit and say, man, but look at that thing. Oh, brother, don't you remember how good that felt? That drug, that alcohol, that thing? But the new man says, no, man, I'm saved. I know I shouldn't be doing that. I know the Lord said this. I know the Lord said that. There's a battle. That's what Galatians 5 is all about, and we'll get there, between the spirit and the body. But look at this once again here, verse 12. Let not. Do you see that? So what about my brethren that say, God's in control. God's in control of everything. He's not. He's not in control of your flesh. He's not forcing you to obey him. Nothing is predetermined of God. It's your choice. You know what he said in Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We are saying, God, we're going to, and listen to me now, we're not saying like as if we have power over God, but we're saying, Lord, we are allowing you to rule over here, Lord. This church, Lord, your word is welcome, Lord. Your truth is welcome here, your Holy Spirit to operate and to do everything according to this book. Lord, we are allowing that here. That's why you see the Lord rebuking churches in Revelation and everywhere else, because they were not. Remember in that church in Revelation? The Bible says that Christ was knocking on the door. What does that tell you? He ain't inside. What happened there? We'll get there another day. Amen. That's another message. So what have I learned so far, brethren? I'm set free from the power of sin. Before I got saved, I had no power over it. Now that I'm saved, I have power over it. Why do I have power over it? Because Christ lives in me, and I in Christ. But I have two natures still within this body. I have the old man nature, the body of sin. I have the new man nature, the redeemed. So, just like that scripture, I need to reckon it dead. I need to not let that sin reign over my body, that I should obey it in the lust thereof. Let's keep going down here to verse number 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made freed from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Brother or sister, what did you used to do with your body before you got saved? What did you spend your time doing a long time ago? Partying, drinking, hanging out with the friends, hanging out with the girls, hanging out with the boys, doing all that, that energy that you were using your body for, and all those talents and skills you got in those members of your body. You know what the Lord wants you to do now? He wants you to serve him with that same energy, that same zeal you had for those things, amen? Because now you're not going to have to worry about sin and the condemnation of your flesh. You can use your body and your talents to serve Jesus, to do something for him, amen? For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You know what that Bible tells me? When I was living as a fornicator, the end of that thing was a shameful thing. There was no profit of life in it. It was just all death. Drugs, death. Adultery, death. You know, all those idolatries, whatever it is that you battle with before you got saved, and perhaps afterwards, we'll talk about that before we close. The Bible says those are shameful things. Amen. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You see that, church? There's two people living inside that body of yours, the new man and the old man. The new man has been made free from sin. That old man, though, is still not redeemed, the flesh, nature. So you have to have power over it. And you have been made free, so you can. Go to Romans chapter 7 with me. And before we close, let's get a little bit more insight as to this old man, new man nature. Let's read together Romans 7, verse number 5. Romans 7, verse number 5. The Bible says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, there it is, which were by the law, did work in our members, that's the body, to bring forth fruit unto death. What are those emotions, brother? What are those things within your heart that get aroused or get riled up because of the sin that is desired and that could be accomplished? It could, but now you have the power over it. Real quick, look with me, if you will, in the book of James. James chapter 1. And let's read this together. This ties in hand. This was not in my notes, but this is just Bible memory. Thank you, Lord. The word is good. Amen. Whenever you say to me, Brother Carlos, I've been having this desire or this craving or this thought just came out of nowhere, you know, lust of my eyes, pride of life, whatever that means to you. You don't have to publicly confess, but you understand what I'm saying. Where does the Bible say that comes from? What did Paul just say in Romans 7:5? The motions of sin in our body, working unto death. Here's what the Holy Ghost says here through the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. There was a brother who was talking to Kwame and I the other day, and he was telling us about how God allowed him to go through those drugs. And he's like, yeah, but God allowed me to go through this, man, and go through that, man, and I came out and all this. And I'm listening to him, because now he ain't doing that anymore. But boy, I'm just like, that's not biblically right. God is not tempting you with evil. He's not letting you go through the drugs or bringing drugs along your way so you can have victory when you confront drugs. No, that's not God, fool. That's the devil, and that's your flesh. You say, how do I know that, brother? Keep reading. Every man, it doesn't say some men, it says every man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, brother, sister, the things that attract the motions of sins in your body may not be the things that attract the motions of sins in my body. You may have different sinful lusts than the person sitting next to you, and the person sitting next to you may have other things, but they all stem from the same nature, the old man, the sinful nature. That happens when you're drawn away, when you are enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So that just goes to prove again, once again, Pentecostal charismatic theology. All we're saved, we're redeemed, blood bought, atoned, etc. You know, we're no longer sinners. We're no longer sinners. You know, I'm dead to that. Oh, you are a sinner still. You still have a flesh. You got to battle with a fool. And whenever you lust, because you are going to be tempted, it happens because your heart. You see? So go back to Romans 7 with me. Paul says here, the motions of sin in that body. You see that in Romans 7, 5? Let's go down here to verse number 18. The Bible says, for I know that in me, and if it couldn't be any clearer, look what the Holy Ghost puts there, a parenthetical. That is, in my flesh. You see there? So, Bible with Bible, the body, the flesh. Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He had a desire to do right in God's sight. But there was also another desire in him that didn't want to do good in God's sight. So where is that? That's the nature of the flesh, the body. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Oh my gosh! Paul, an apostle, was still sinning. He still made mistakes. That's what it says. So for all these Pentecostal brethren of mine talking about, I'm a new creature, that's, you know, I'm dead to sin, I'm no longer sinning, that's, they are wrong. Because if that brother had some problems, you're going to have some problems, amen. I know I have some problems. Somebody can testify, my mama can tell you about that. But, verse 20, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, where is that sin dwelling? In the flesh. There you go. You guys are learning. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. How many of you guys feel like that? You want to go to church, but then that desire comes. You want to read your Bible, but then a distraction comes. You want to do right in a relationship, but then that thought comes. You want to do et cetera, for the Lord. But man, there's that second thought that says, ah, oh, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There it is. Two people living inside your body. The new man, the old man. The new nature, the old nature. The new man in me, the saved sister Letty, the saved brother John, the saved Carlos, wants to do good. Because it's redeemed. It's sealed. It's saved by the Holy Spirit. I have a relationship with God in Christ. I'm alive. That part of me doesn't do wrong against God, the new man. But the old man, that old nature, the flesh, I still battle that. Watch this. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Whoa! Paul, you're telling me that you gave into the flesh, brother? That's right. Praise the Lord, man. This Bible's real. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Isn't that amazing? Paul is talking about himself. He's saved the inward man. But what does the inward man say? Who's going to deliver me from this body, this flesh, this thing that wants to continue to do evil? I'll tell you who. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Until Jesus comes back for the church, or until you die, you're still going to be sinning against God. You're going to make mistakes. There's a battle. But who's going to win in the end of the day comes up to you, believer. The choice is yours because Christ gave you the power over the old man nature. So what does that tell me now as Christians? We don't have any excuses now. Now that I've read some Bible, now that I know I have all this power of Christ dwelling in me and everything like that, it's my choice when I go back to that sinful thing. But what did James say? You're enticed of your own lust. You think about it. So when you go on full with the action, man, you're allowing the flesh to have the power over the new man. And that's a shameful thing. But that's where 1 John comes in, right? I'm not going to show you, but you can read it. you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. When you do make mistakes and you realize that, say, Father, forgive me. I know I've sinned against you, Lord. I know I shouldn't have done that. The Father's holy. You need a mediator. There's the Lord. Father, it's okay. My blood covered that sin. My blood covered that sin. I forgive you. I forgive you. Praise the Lord for that. Woo! I'm so happy to have a mediator. Amen. Are you? Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right. Couple minutes left, and we'll close. So let's go back to our base text, Romans chapter 12. Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We got a clearer understanding now. Praise the Lord. Grace, truth, all that. Then you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Biblically, scripture with scripture. Listen now. The Bible defines for us clearly what it looks like to be led of the Spirit of God. Spirit-led believers are Christians who are fighting the flesh, resisting to obey the flesh with its lusts and deeds, and having victory over the battle of good and evil inside of his or her heart. Go back to chapter 8 before we close. This is Bible definition of Spirit-led Christians. Are you ready? This is going to blow your mind away because this is going to check all them other fools out there. They know who they are. And now you're going to learn the truth. Watch this, or be reminded, I should say. Romans 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Who's saved here today? Raise your hand. You saved? Trusted Christ? All right. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh. Saved. No more condemnation before the Father. But I'm still going to go fornicate. But I'm still going to go sin over here. I'm still going to go drink over here. I'm still going to... There's condemnation. Because I'm walking after the flesh. I'm sinning against God knowing that I have power over that. There will be. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You are set free from that power of sin. You can have power over sin in your life. You have to walk it out, though. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, because he had none, praise the Lord, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Are you ready? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what the Bible defines me to me now as Spirit-led Christians? It's people who are not walking after the flesh. They're fighting against the flesh. They're fighting against the lusts. Those are biblically Spirit-led believers. It's not the waka-waka tongue-speaking believers. It's not the come here for prophecy healing revival series believers. It's that Christian brother or sister who is taking control of his drug habit, that sex habit, that addict habit over here, or whatever that problem over there, or they're fighting now, they're coming to church more regularly, they're being faithful to do this. That's a Spirit-led believer, according to that verse right there. You understand? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There's no way you're having sex before you get married is pleasing to God, doing some drugs, smoking some dope, all those silly things I hear from people on the streets. They're foolish. Why? Because their minds are not on God. It is on the lust of their heart, the flesh. So then, a couple more minutes, sorry. Then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You got to be saved. And if Christ be in you, are you ready now? The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We owe not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, Spirit-led Christians is not when I get invited to that church and the piano's playing in the background, everybody's just lifting up their hands with beanies on and long cardigans on from the girls and swinging like this here and folks falling over the place and waka waka tongue speaker here and there. It's not prophecies or words of knowledge, as all of my charismatic brethren say. It is Christians who are fighting their flesh. It is Christians who are having power over their thoughts and their heart's desires to want to disobey God, to obey God. You say, I'm Spirit-led, brother, to do this. I'm Spirit-led to do that. Are you taking care of that thought in your heart? Are you taking care of that pride? Are you taking care of that sinful desire? That's Spirit-led, according to right there, verse number 14. What's the evidence of Christians that are being led by the Spirit? They're being faithful to the Word of God. They're being obedient to the Word of God. So, part one, Romans 12. We're going to close now. That's why I said part one. We got a lot more to go. What does the Lord want you to do? He wants you to give him that body. Because it's not redeemed. What does it have? Sinful nature. Old man nature. This thing is my worst enemy. When I wake up in the morning, I have two options. I'm either going to say, God, this body belongs to you, or this body belongs to me. Because I have the old man. He's alive. He wants to try to conquer, man, but I got a new man. Nope. I'm going to have control over you. You're dead. You need to stay down there. Christ in me, I got power. Next, you got to put on Christ, Romans 13, 14. Next, you got to put on the new man, Ephesians 4, 24. Next, you got to put on that armor of God, Ephesians 6, 11. You can do it, though, in Christ. So, when you ask yourself now about the lusts and my sinful habits, my desires, I just showed you from the Bible, they're there, they're real, but Christ in you has given you the power to have over them. You don't have to continue to live after that or do those things because now you have power over the flesh. You have to exercise that power. You have to walk out in that power. And if you want to be Spirit-led in all this, it's being biblically obedient to the Word of God. Amen? Is that good so far? You guys understand what we're saying here? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for these truths, Lord, that are convicting, Lord, and sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. I'm so thankful for this Bible. Lord, only you know every heart today. Only you know the desires of every soul here today. Only you know, Lord, what their flesh battles with. I don't. But Lord, you surely do know my heart. Oh boy, do you know my wickedness and the lust that dwell in this fleshed, wretched body of mine, Lord. I'm so thankful to know that I'm saved. I'm thankful to know, Father, that one day you will deliver me and my brothers and sisters here from this wretched flesh, Lord, of sin and death. Until that day, Lord, when you call us home to be with you, Lord, I just pray and ask God that your Holy Spirit would continue to help us, continue to convict us, forgive us when we grieve him because we choose sin, when we choose rebellion, when we choose the flesh over the power of Christ in us. God, help us all, Lord, to trust the Bible. Help us all to believe and reckon ourselves truly and indeed dead to sin and alive because of Christ. Help us, Father, to walk in the newness of life. Help us to have power over our past addictions or struggles or any of those types of things that any one of us have gone through, Lord. And help us to continue to grow on the inward man. So, Lord, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Help us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, the Lord bless you. We do look forward to seeing you later. If you want to fellowship with us tonight, 6 o'clock.